Hello and welcome into the KE Report. My name is Shad Markowitz, your host today, and I'm joined by Dr. Chris Wilson, Executive Chairman and CEO of Montaro Silver. That's MSLV on the TSXV and MSLVF on the OTC markets. Chris, you got big news from two different countries this week from Montaro Silver. Let's start with the release on August 23rd that highlights some of the work you're doing over at the San Jose and Santos Gloria projects, your high-grade silver projects located in central Peru. We'll start with Santos Gloria. What is the company doing to move that project forward currently?
Yeah, thanks for having us today. The Santos Gloria project is really more about permitting. We've just, 10 days ago, we started field work again, mapping and sampling the vein extensions. But the really important news out of Santos Glorias is we did submit an archaeological report, which you need to do in Peru. The relevant authorities visited site, and they're happy, and they've issued us a CIRA, that's a C-I-R-A, which has effectively given us a green pass on archaeology. So we'll now quickly move to a small environmental report, a very important step in our drill permitting process for Santos Glorias.
Okay, and now let's move over to the San Jose silver property. In this news release, it outlines you've reached an access agreement with the UTCAS community, and that's a big milestone for the company. You've been working on this for a while, so walk us through why this is important for moving the San Jose project forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's twofold at San Jose. You're absolutely right. We've got an agreement with the community. This was very important because it happened post-election. You know, I think there was a worry that, you know, Andean communities would become empowered with a new president. That's clearly not been the case up at San Jose, and we've got this long-term, I think it's a three-year agreement in place with the local community. It was a vote at community level, and pro-mining won. So we're on the ground, and we're starting to find a lot more veins than we thought, with, you know, significant iron oxides after lead, which would suggest that, you know, there was good silver results to be found. We've taken about 160 samples so far, and one team's going to continue to map out San Jose and sample, and the other teams on Santos Glorias started to move the veins along before the commencement of drilling.
Okay, and Chris, you said you've done about 160 rock chip samples and surface samples. What is the plan and schedule to get on there as far as a drill plan, and what would the budget be for that?
Well, the budget, I'd have to go, but the drilling will happen at Santos Glorias first. That's where the Sierra was awarded. That's where our focus is going to be. So we're just starting to resample vein extensions there. We've got about 20 drill targets lined up. And I think initially it was 5,000 meters of drilling we'd suggested. The recent sampling, the 160-odd samples I referenced, that's from San Jose. That's earlier stage. We're probably going to need another 3 or 4 months of mapping to have a real idea of where we'd want to start to drill up there. And at that point, we'll go into the permitting process.
And just one more question on Santos Gloria. You guys had also done some recent metallurgical work there, and it's a polymetallic deposit, but there's some good grades of silver, zinc, lead, even a little gold. So walk us through what that met work told you about the project.
Yeah, effectively, it was a flotation test on the sulfide ore from the historic underground workings. And, you know, quite often companies drill deposits extensively before doing any metallurgy. And we were conscious that at some stage we may, proceed with some underground development to drill from. It won't be this year. It's something we're looking at next year to drive on some of the veins. And so we just wanted an idea of, you know, what the recovery flow path in percent recoveries might be for the sulfide ore we'd encounter if we don't go underground. And we've had very good recoveries on, you know, the initial tests. We're going to do some more. But it certainly says that, you know, the sulfide ore is a stock standard proven sulfide ore with good recoveries in the silver and the base metals. The gold system there, that's a slightly different veins. They're more to the north. And we had samples close to 60 grams per ton in channels gold. That's the oxide material at the top, and we need to do more work on that. So the metallurgy was really from the sulfide underground with initially very good recoveries, so we're very happy on that.
Okay, thanks for the update there on San Jose, Chris. Well, now let's shift from Peru over to Bolivia. The company put out big news today on August 25th that Montaro Silver is going to acquire an 80% interest in the fully permitted Golden Hill property in Bolivia. Bolivia has been a hot exploration jurisdiction lately, But please explain to us why you're looking at Bolivia and expanding into the Bolivian Shield. Some of those orogenic greenstone belts are very prolific, but just walk us through this property and why you picked it and why you're expanding the company into Bolivia, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic. It sounds, I think a lot of people think that this just happened. You know, I've had my eye on Bolivia for 15 years. I've been working in Bolivia for 15 years, and we've got an exceptional database. And obviously, I had to sit out almost 10 of those under the previous administration. And when the government changed, I was back in Bolivia within about a week. That's how perspective I see the country. So this has taken, you know, 15 years of my life to get to the point where we can acquire an option agreement. And there was 9.5 months of, you know, significant negotiation to get this property. And before I start on, you know, why Bolivia, and that's really about the shield areas and the greenstone soil deposits for us, it's important to understand that this property is held by a Bolivian company. And as such, you know, they've never been affected by changes in regulation because they're Bolivian companies which the regulations looked after. Secondly, it's a fully permitted mine. So, you know, if we wanted to go mining the mine, I'm certainly not saying we're going to. We could. They were mining 2 weeks ago. We've stopped them now to reassess what we're doing. But it's fully permitted. It's upgradable, depending on our ability to capitalize. And as a fully permitted mine, we can drill anywhere in the concession without additional permits. So, you know, on those three facets alone, it's a really fundamental acquisition for us. Why Bolivia? You know, a significant part of the world's gold comes out of greenstone systems, greenstone hosted or orogenic gold, such as the Abitibi, West Africa, Western Australia, and, you know, the big ones in Northeast South America, Venezuela, Suriname, Guyana. So they're very attractive targets. The shield area of Bolivia, which has been largely overlooked, really, you know, it's bigger than the Abitibi in absolute landhold size, at less than 10 million ounces discovered to date. Compare that with the Abitibi, where over the last 100 years, from over 100 mines, they've even mined or found over 170 million ounces of gold. You know, West Africa's up around 400 million ounces now. So, you know, when you look at the discovery rate in the Bolivian Shield, it's clearly underexplored. And what's really important on these systems, all of the gold deposits on the in the greenstone systems cluster along major crustal scale faults. They were the former suture zones of continents. And when you get on a structure that's got 4, 5, or 6 gold mines along it, in the case of Bolivia Golden Hills, there's 6 over a strike length of 25 kilometers, you know you're on one of these fundamental gold mineralized structures. So Golden Hills sits right on that. On a regional concept, it's perfectly placed. The other important part with the greenstone deposits is individually, they often include multiple high-grade lodes, often with a cumulative strike length of 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers plus. And as we're starting to see in, you know, the Abitibi, West Africa, vertical depths extent of, you know, often more than a kilometer. So they have very good size potential. And we've only seen, you know, the historic mining at Golden Hills has only really nibbled at the top of the system. So it's a great target to go at in terms of its greenstone-hosted provenance. It's on a, you know, strongly gold-mineralized structure with 6 deposits along it. Quartz veins, visible gold, alluvials, saprolitic gold, fully permitted. Yeah, it's pretty good, I think.
Okay, Chris, well, it's pretty amazing that you're able to pick up this land that was held by a private company that is fully permitted and that you literally could start drilling and or, if you wanted to, even start production right away. But I know your plan is to go and explore, and one of the ideas was to be able to get underground and get some channel samples in there. Tell us what you've learned from some of the historic mining that's actually happened up pretty recently and what the approach the company is going to take as far as your underground sampling and channel sampling.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Very good question. There's only been 8 drill holes for just over 2,000 meters on the property. Typically, you know, I've alluded to the fact that greenstone-hosted systems sit on these regional suture zones with very significant vertical extent. So, you know, most of them around the world are known. They've usually got alluvial workings by small-scale miners on the top. So the mining scenario at Golden Hills has really been focused around the surface expression of the veins and associated alluvials. And then typically, you know, you start to go down on the high-grade chutes. So there's only been 8 drill holes. The company that owns it has a shaft down to 90 meters, and they started to develop some horizontal leads, and we're producing up to 50 ton a day. It reported grades, they tell us, of, you know, up to 15 grams per ton. Not compliant, but, you know, that's within the mine records. So, you know, it's a very unusual situation where we can get underground, we can get onto the veins over several hundred meters of strike length on three levels. And the veins are 2 to 4 meters wide, which is significant. That demonstrates mining width. They're multi-phase, which is very important. The more pulses of fluid you've had into the structure, and the more mineralized an event you can potentially have, the better the grade should be. So they're multi-phase. They're steeply dipping in grade, if we can, you know, believe the historic mine records, but seems to be increasing as we go downwards with a lot of visible gold. So, you know, that's a drill-ready target. And now, those veins that Lascarchon and the associated deposits are already 4 kilometers long, and there's 6 to 7 veins over, you know, possibly 50, 60 meters of width. So that in itself is a phenomenal target to go at. It's being mined at surface pretty much along its length. But to be able to go underground to 90 meters and visualize the vein and channel sample it, you know, it should really help us de-risk our first drill holes in those areas. In addition, there's another 6 kilometers of structure on the property that's never really been looked at, has saprolite and has alluvial material on top of it. And we know it's this gold mineralized structure that continues onto the other mine outside the concession. So plenty to do, you know. But certainly the underground workings is going to help our drill targeting significantly.
Yeah, boy, 4 kilometers of known veins with 6 to 7 veins and then another 6 kilometers unexplored. You guys do have your work cut out for you. Sounds like a district scale land package. Just to help the audience out, what should the main things that investors be looking for over the balance of the year as you start this work? And are there any particular targets that you're starting with first?
Well, you know, just in a broader scale there, I mentioned right from the early days of Montaro pre-listing, you know, when you've worked with Robert Friedland for 10 years, you're used to a healthy project flow. And you know, that remains one of my principal focus, to keep looking for opportunities such as Golden Hills, and if they make sense. And although it's a forward-looking statement, if we are able, I'd like to continue securing, you know, very solid assets. So that's a sort of broad brush concept going forward. No certainty, but we're certainly going to be, you know, chasing that very hard. In terms of Golden Hill, well, we've already poured out 200 kilos of bulk sample from the minus 45, minus 90 meter levels. That's on transit today to SGS Lakefield because, you know, they've got a crushing plant on site. They've got rudimentary gravity plants. And we think that SGS should be able to help us, you know, fine-tune the types of circuits you'd need to recover the gold. That's not to say we're going to go mining off the get-go, but obviously if you can enhance the recovery and you're bringing ore out from underground as part of your development and exploration development. So, you know, the metallurgical results are going to be important. We plan to really look at the whole property initially over probably 2 to 3 months. We've got 4 geologists moving down there as we talk. They will sweep the whole property. We want to work up those 6 kilometers of structures. And you know, then we want to be drilling the highest priority targets. Nothing too fancy to start with. You know, we want to stay where we know the grade is and look to stack resources together initially near surface. And if we can do that, then it gives us a nice foundation on which to build. You know, obviously all of that is forward looking, and there is risk in any forward looking component. But it's to continue the regional acquisition strategy if we can, to work quickly through the whole license whilst the bulk sample has been submitted to SGS, and at the same time, you know, to start 3D modeling and planning our drill holes for the high grade areas around the Lascarche underground workings. Nice place to be.
Well, Chris, beside yourself that's working on these projects, I know you have a solid team. Just speak to us briefly about the different teams in place in both Peru and Bolivia and who's helping guide the company forward.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, you know, it tends to be me doing the talking, but I'd just like to say that, you know, I've got an exceptional board of directors around me. They're very supportive, very proactive. Our exploration manager for South America, Joss Hantelman. Joss has worked with me on and off for over 15 years. He was an SRK consultant and modeler, fluent in Spanish, living in Peru. Extraordinarily lucky to have Joss at the helm in South America. Then in terms of the geologists who hit on the ground, we've got a couple of very seasoned proven geologists in Peru. We're about to hire a couple of Bolivian geologists. And I'm very lucky that I've got 9 geologists out of UK, North America, and Australia who followed me around the world for the last sort of 15 years, and they mobilise very quickly. So we've got four geologists, two on Golden Hill already, two more moving in. So that'll be four geologists coming in from overseas, plus probably two Bolivians. So we will be hitting the ground hard with a very seasoned team. And they bring a lot of experience. They're a hard-hitting team with a big motor on them. So, you know, a lot of credit has to go to the board and the team as well. And they're very forward-looking and driven. So, yeah, it's a good place to be. Brilliant stuff.
Absolutely. Well, definitely congratulations and big news for the company on all the projects. We'll be following along to see the work continue at San Jose, at Santos Glorious, and now at Golden Hill in Bolivia. And we wish you the best of luck with the exploration and your team the best of luck. If anybody has any questions for Chris, please email us either at fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. And Chris, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Be safe.